It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
It is the sixth post-game show right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPNHRadio.com. I am your host, Patrick Gilroy. This evening, alongside Calvin Chamberlain, we've got Jim behind the glass talking to you, a Celtic 92-83 win over the Dallas Mavericks on the TD Garden tonight. A big win for the Celtics, which is the reason why we'll get into just this game one of the times. And of course, we'll talk about this mainly because he took the fourth quarter and Jared is here. So we have a lot to get to. I'm hitting my mic cutting out, so Calvin, take this over while I figure out what is going wrong on my end.
Certainly. I think that, I don't know if Jared is here or not, but I think that any conversation with this game has to begin and end with Isaiah Thomas and his big performance in the fourth quarter. What did he have, 22 points, I believe? Just dominating in all sorts of ways in the fourth quarter. Was not shooting well early in the game. I did not think he was particularly aggressive in terms of getting to the basket like we usually see from Isaiah. I think the presence of Andrew Bogut sort of not switching very often, and Andrew Bogut manning the lane as he tends to do, kept Isaiah Thomas out of the game out of the lane rather for long stretches early on in that game. But in the fourth quarter, the Celtics repeatedly, thanks to Brad Stevens' creative offense, found ways to isolate him onto bigger men. We saw multiple possessions where he was switched onto Dwight Powell and he managed to either go by Powell or shoot over him. Personally, I didn't realize you were back. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's just shared. I think that Isaiah did, obviously, I think he's the reason why he won the game. Him and Avery Bradley both had great games tonight. And this was a game that me and Jeff Hickman talked about in the pregame here on ESPN New Hampshire as well. It was, this is the game you really had to have. It was a time to kind of start to right the ship a little bit here, knowing that you have a game with Golden State coming up Friday. It's a big matchup. Isaiah Thomas was big. I know Patrick is happy to hear me say that, but big reason why he won this game.
Look, Isaiah Thomas is a huge reason why they won the game, 22 quarters. More importantly, putting the Celtics on his back, what was just an anemic offensive performance pretty much in the part of this game. And this has been such a trend for this Celtics going all the way back to last season. The moment this team lost Jay Crowder, mid-March last year, their playoff exit in April, the team's offense is absolutely anemic. They don't have the luxury that their team have. They don't have a dynamic scorer. They don't even have somebody else that they can lean on consistently to put the ball in the basket. And that's where it gets frustrating. I'm frustrating for Isaiah Thomas, frustrating for Avery Bradley. But with all that being said, I really would like to give the Celtics some credit here. Because at this point, at 6-5, I feel like this team is treading water. And that's okay. Everybody expects this team to be a 55-60 win team, and now hell is raining down on them from the Boston radio areas, CNN, from ESPN, from everybody, because not 8-2. Look, it's not that big of a deal. This team is a tread water until they right, and I think that they deserve credit for doing this.
Patrick, you're audio problems persist. I don't know if there's anything you can do. Maybe Jared, if you want to jump back on with me for a minute. So to jump on what I believe to be Pat's point is that Celtics fans shouldn't worry right now about how the Celtics are treading water. In big picture terms, I agree with him. I think that a lot of times you see a lot of early season struggles. Teams are trying to figure out their rotation, work in the new players. The loss of Evan Turner means that the secondary ball handling is something that guys like, you see Marcus Smart, who has not really played much of a traditional point guard role in the past, be more of a point guard this season. He's sort of really improved his passing game, although unfortunately I don't think he's really improved his dribbling that much. But we see, guys taking on different roles it doesn't mean that, you know, what you see now is what you're going to see later in the season. So I agree with his point there. But that being said, I mean, there are troubling signs early in the season, even given the loss of Horford and Crowder, that I think should be addressed. I mean, that's the reason why we have a postgame show, right?
That's very fair. Calvin, let me ask you this too, because it's obviously been a concerning question. There hasn't been any Jay Crowder or Al Horford there to help anchor this defense along the way. Obviously, Jay Crowder known for that part of his game. Tonight was a good step in the right direction towards the end of the game. It seemed like they kind of bunkered down when they needed to, got some stops late, got some fast break points off that defense. Obviously, that key play at the end, Isaiah Thomas, fast break to Avery Bradley, gets the dunk. Easy play there. But defense, as much as it wasn't great tonight, did lock down when it had to.
Yeah, I think the numbers, you know, if you just fell out of bed and you opened up the box score and you saw that they held the Mavericks to 41% shooting, and the fact that they held Dallas to a 14-point quarter and a 17-point quarter, 31-point first half, and you say, man, the Celtics really locked them down defensively. But in terms of actually watching the game, I really didn't feel that way at all. If you, if you look at what the Celtics had just in terms of arsenal in this game, Deron Williams was injured coming into the game tonight, scored 0 points. I believe he took, he took 3 shots in the game, played 10 minutes. Andrew Bogut doesn't shoot, and Dorian Finney-Smith doesn't shoot either. So they have two starters on that team that don't shoot. J.J. Barea essentially has functionally been their offense. He got hurt in the third quarter. Bogut fouled out of the game. You know, Dirk Nowitzki is clearly still hurt. They ended up with 6 players essentially at the end of the game. The only real scorers on the team were Barnes and Wesley Matthews, if you want to say to a small extent, Seth Curry. The Celtics should, just the fact that this was less than a 10-point game, I would argue is somewhat of an impressive feat considering the injuries that occurred even in this game for the Mavericks. So I don't think that they are quite there yet defensively. I thought that Harrison Barnes got a lot of looks. I wouldn't be as concerned about his sort of post-up ISO, other than the fact that they probably should have had Smart on him to begin with rather than Bradley. But I would take much bigger issue with the sort of space Wesley Matthews was getting on his 3-point shots, even in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, I look at Wesley Matthews, and obviously he got his contract, he got his money, he earned it playing so well in Portland, but he's obviously been on a slump this year so far, Calvin. There's no question about that. Hasn't been playing well. The whole Dallas Mavericks have been playing like crap, to be honest. So really no high points coming into this game, and they just got blown up by the Knicks the other night. But Wesley Matthews is a key part of this team, and even if he's playing like crap, you still need to be able to step up and defend him and expect him to shoot the three, because that's what made him so great in Portland. That's what made his game so transcendent, that he got that money to come to Dallas, and he wanted to come to Dallas and play for a good team, and he had the opportunity to do that. Obviously, the injuries are hurting that team, but it's kind of unfortunate to see the defense kind of slack off that much, and I don't know how much of this is missing Jay Crowder and his leadership. I know we talked about this earlier on the pregame show here. Is Jay Crowder the reason why this team isn't trying as hard? Is he the motor that makes this team tick?
I think that is definitely a factor, because I always felt last year when the Celtics were, sixth in defensive efficiency, or maybe even higher. I can't remember off the top of my head, but the motor that kept them going, it was creating turnovers, getting out on the fast break, just constant ball pressure. And I think that we're not seeing that as much this season. Jay Crowder was a huge part of it, but I don't want to get on him too much, because I think that he's playing really well offensively. You know, he's having his best offensive season, but Avery Bradley, made the second team all defense last year, and I don't see him pressuring the ball the same way he did last year. And maybe, it has to do with his increased responsibilities and he just doesn't have the same amount of energy, but I don't see him up on the ball handler as much, creating turnovers. I think the Celtics, to function, because they don't really have shot blocking, especially without Horford out there, they're going to have to create turnovers if they're going to be an effective defensive team. And even tonight, considering the lack of ball handlers on the Mavericks, you saw Harrison Barnes bringing up the ball up the floor. Seth Curry, not exactly somebody who is a great ball protector. Even Barea is known to give the ball up. I still really didn't see the kind of pressure that the Celtics were known for last season.
Yeah, and last year, obviously, Calvin, they played with that intensity. And I've been preaching this anywhere I can. It's been, you know, the 110% effort that they need to win every game isn't there. You know, they're not, they have to try really hard to win every game because the talent on paper isn't there for them to just show up. And the defensive kind of pedigree of this team last year hasn't been there this year. I think that's the main reason why.
Yeah, I think that, you know, to some degree you can make the argument that Jaylen Brown is not quite there yet, at least in terms of the team defense, and I think that's a big reason why we've seen his minutes reduction, you know, moving him to the bench and him not really getting the sort of minutes he was getting earlier in the season. I think that Terry Rozier, as exciting as he is as an offensive player, is, you know, not quite there yet either, with guys like Bradley when he's at his best and like Smart when he's at his best in terms of being a defensive player. And Gerald Green, obviously a player who's never known for his defense. You combine all those things with the loss of Horford and Crowder and the loss of Evan Turner, who is an underrated defensive player and, most importantly for this team, a large defensive player. I think that the Celtics are tending to get overpowered. And if they don't, you know, create turnovers, if they don't pressure the ball handler, they're just going to get brutalized inside. And I think we saw that a little bit tonight with Barnes just, you know, Bradley played as well as Bradley can play defensively on Barnes, but Barnes just powered over him and took what amounted to easy jump shots for him.
All right, this is the Celtics postgame show here, CLNS Radio, of course, ESPN New Hampshire. If you're in the area of ESPN Hampshire, listen, of course, on 1250, 900 AM. We're going to step aside, see if we can get Patrick Gilroy, our main man, back on here. And when we come back, talk to the Celtics win over the Dallas Mavericks. And, of course, we're going to touch on and preview later on, I'm sure, because I know Patrick wants to talk about this. The lovely Golden State Warriors coming in on Friday. So we're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk more Celtics.
Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. So it's always important to know where your food comes from. I'd like to take a moment and tell you about Blue Apron. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Folks, for less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you only the best in variety, flexibility, and ease of use. The recipe cards are incredible. This month, I made pan-seared chicken and roasted fall vegetables with butter caper sauce, spicy lotus root and purple carrot stir-fry with sweet potato noodles, lemongrass roasted pork with Romanesco cauliflower and coconut rice. These entrees may sound complicated, but with Blue Apron's recipe cards, they are easy and fun and get the whole family involved. We'd love for you to try Blue Apron. Support the Celtics postgame show and the entire CLNS radio network. And guess what? It's not going to cost you anything. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/CLNS. You will love how it feels. You will love how it tastes. You will love creating incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Again, no risk involved. Three free meals, free shipping. That's blueapron.com/CLNS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show to the Garden Report to CSL and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about movement watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches, they start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the hottest of takes and get the lowdown on all things Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcasters John Duke and Justin Poulin have returned. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com. Celtics Stuff Live is back and better than ever before with featured guests that are the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is heating up, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
CLNSradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPN NHRadio.com. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, this evening, alongside Calvin Chamberlain, Jared Scally, behind the glass, hanging out after a Celtics 90-83 win over the lowly Dallas Mavericks, a win that I'm okay with. I did catch bits and pieces of the opening segment because I had technical difficulties. I know there are many reasons why the Celtics should have won by many, many, many more points, but I don't think beggars can be choosers at this stage in the game. We're talking about a massively depleted Celtics team that hasn't even had the luxury of having their full assortment of players together for more than a two- or three-game stretch, or the argument can be made it hasn't been together at all this season. So to be a game above 500, I think is a testament to Brad Stevens' coaching, a testament to the way that the Celtics' backcourt continues to play, and a testament to Isaiah Thomas and his ability to take over games and sense the moment and know what his team needs and deliver his team exactly what it needs. Our opening segment, of course, was brought to you by Indochino, who's made-to-measure suits will have you guys looking like $1 million. But with our promo code GARDEN, that $1 million suit will cost you just $389. That is 50% off the regular price. What you want to do is visit their Boston showroom. It's conveniently located on Newbury Street. They'll get you fitted for your made-to-measure suit so you guys can start looking as sharp as we do. You want to use that promo code GARDEN or stop by the Newbury Street location. Use the promo code GARDEN, and it'll get you made-to-measure suit. Today, I do want to open up our Movement Watches toll-free phone line. Again, the Movement Watches toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. What I really don't want to do is sit here and break down what we saw tonight, because it was an ugly game all around. Celtics came out, they looked good, guys, for the first quarter. They open up a 10-12-point lead. They give the lead away. It's become such a trend, a troubling trend for the Celtics throughout the course of the season to give up leads, not be able to extend leads, and really blow teams away when they've got the opportunity. And I think we've explored all of those reasons why, this is the 11th game of the season. Jared, I don't want to speak for you, but you and I have done a lot of programs together, be it here, be it on ESPN. And I think it's safe to say for 90% of those programs, we've had virtually the same conversation.
Yeah, we have.
It's frustrating. There's no easy answer, right? But here's the problem. As the season moves along and as we inch closer to Thanksgiving, talk show hosts are looking for stuff to talk about. The media needs something to write about. And the dynamic in the storyline when it comes to the Celtics has been changing a little bit, especially this week, because the Celtics have lost to some teams they probably shouldn't lose to. I get that. It's massively frustrating to have these expectations and have them not to come to fruition as quickly as everybody expected. But I tell you what, I'll go back to 2008. When the Celtics put that team together, everybody was so surprised at how quickly the big three were able to gel and play together. As a matter of fact, if you go back and you read articles from the Globe, the Herald, from ESPN, from SB Nation, you name the source, most pundits predicted the Celtics to win a championship in 09 or 10, saying it would take them at least a season to get everybody to adjust. This season, they do bring in an all-star. They do have other changes to the roster, losing a guy like Evan Turner, who played an important role here last year. It was going to take some time, if they were healthy, to get everything right. And to start the season down Marcus Smart, down Kelly Olynyk, and then very quickly to be down Jay Crowder and Al Horford for extended periods of time, it's very difficult for me to sit here, guys, and judge the team for being average when four out of their top 10 players have missed significant chunks of time through only 11 games.
Well, ironically, that 2008 Celtics team sort of changed the narrative for how people view super teams. I think since then, the unreasonable expectations have been put on sort of every super team that have been formed, you know, from the Heat to the Warriors now, everyone expecting them to just gel immediately and win an unreasonable amount of games. Even my Lakers, when they acquired Dwight Howard, everyone expected them to just perform immediately, even though that team ended up failing. But just an interesting note to touch on. But that being said, I don't think it's you know, the fact that they're underperforming overall that's an issue. I think it's obviously you touched on the injuries. You touched on the fact that it's early in the season. Who knows, you know, how long it's going to take this team to gel. I think that narrative is fine, but there's still things that are troubling and questionable even within that narrative. I think, you know, you can compare the Mavericks to the Celtics and talk about which team is more debilitated. And it, particularly tonight where they lost Darren Williams and James Barea in the same night, I what that team was left with at the end of the game was it was a joke of an NBA roster, let's be honest. And the fact that they lost to the Pelicans in the previous game, the Pelicans have one good player. Now, I'll grant you that he's amazingly good. He's ridiculously good, but he's one guy. And I think that you expect, you know, a team that came into the season, one of their most bonded traits was their depth, and everyone talked about how deep this roster was. You expect this team to be able to withstand the loss of even an Al Horford, who, you know, is their best player, arguably, although I would make the argument for Isaiah at this point. But I think even him and Crowder, you would still expect them to play a little bit better than they have.
Yeah, absolutely. And Calvin, you bring up great points. And there's no debating the points that you bring up, right? Even though the Celtics have been decimated with injuries, it's not an excuse for lack of effort. And if the Celtics had come out, especially against the Pelicans, and played with a little bit more effort, they should have been able to walk away with a relatively easy victory. And I think the evidence in that is their 10-point comeback in the fourth quarter. It was another case of when the Celtics wanted to sort of turn it on, they were able to, and you saw it in the closing 2 or 3 minutes tonight. Isaiah Thomas turning it on, the team turning it on, the Celtics taking a 4-point deficit and turning it into a 7-point win in the closing final 6 minutes of the game. So you're right. There are some bad habits being developed here by this team. But again, I think that you brought up the depth. And the depth is something that, yeah, it was supposed to be a strength of this team, and so far it hasn't looked that way. But let's not forget, because of the injuries to four of their top nine, top ten players, Brad Stevens has been forced to take that depth and start that depth. And it's no longer depth when they're starting. So now when they go looking for depth, they're going to Jordan Mickey, and they're going to the back end of the bench, guys that really shouldn't have seen playing time unless the Celtics are up or down by 20 points in the closing minutes of the game. These guys have been thrust into action, which may turn into a positive as the season goes along because they're getting valuable minutes. But my point overall here, guys, is that, yeah, it hasn't been great. It hasn't been pretty. But at 6-5, and knowing that two out of their top three players have already missed, the last five games for Crowder, 7-8 games for Horford, I can live with that. Assuming that these guys come back healthy relatively soon, and the word today is, and this is going to keep being the word, but it's up to us to report it, the word today is they could play Friday. You know, who knows if they play. But if they do, I don't expect them to be 100%. And even if they are physically 100%, it's going to take a couple of weeks to get this team back playing as a unit, playing together. So, again, as much as we all would have liked to see this team jump out of the gate and, you know, step out and be immediately 5-6-8 games over 500 and live up to the hype, that's not the reality for a variety of reasons. But we can look at the positive here. The positive is Isaiah Thomas, once again, has a 20-point game tonight. He hasn't gone under 20 one game this season. The argument can be made that he's superseding what he did last year, his first All-Star season. And Avery Bradley has become a dominant rebounder and an incredible two-way player now. He's reliable offensively, but he's a double-double machine this year. So, positive side, you know, looking on the bright side of things, if those two can keep up that level of play and you insert, you know, your best wing player in Jay Crowder and you insert your all-star power forward slash center, things could turn around for this team very, very quickly, and the first month of the season could be forgotten about very fast.
I want to explore a little bit the depth idea to, you know, to see something on the positive side again, like you said about Bradley. He had 8 rebounds in the first quarter. The team held them to 5 offensive rebounds for the entire game, and I think that has a lot to do with the fact that they were not over-rotating, which is something I've seen them do a little bit too often this season, where they're sort of double-teaming a man too often and leaving someone wide open for offensive rebounds. They managed to keep their man in front of them individually, playing a lot of man, even in the zone, in a way that, like, allowed them to just keep Dallas off the board. And granted, you know, you look at this Dallas team and you say, oh, they don't have great rebounding. But they do have Andrew Bogut out there, and Harrison Barnes is a good rebounder. And I'd like to credit them for that. That being said, though, so let's say they get Horford and Crowder back, okay? So we're talking about the 5 starters, Horford and Crowder. So my question to you would be, who would you trust off the bench after that in a big game? I'm just curious as far as how far you see the depth of this team actually going.
Well, you know, I don't think that they're the same team that went, you know, 12, 13 deep regularly last year. I think the goal here is to get them to be sustainably good at 9 or 10 deep. But Kelly Olynyk coming off the bench, playing against another team's second unit, I think that's a valuable offensive weapon. I think what we're going to see here, and I'm not sure it's going to happen immediately, but I think at some point here, and Jared, you're going to like this, you're going to see a switch, and Isaiah's going to stay in the starting lineup, but Marcus Smart has to start for this team. There's too many intangibles there. He's their best defender. He plays 3 positions. He can muscle in the paint as well as play out in the perimeter offensively and defensively. And I think the best thing for the team, I don't know if it's the best thing for the clubhouse or for the locker room, but the best thing for the team is to slide Avery Bradley into that 6-man role and let him really come in and shine against the opposing team's second units. I think there has to be some sort of a give and take there, because I think the Celtics have found something when you've got Isaiah Thomas and you've got Marcus Smart playing on the floor at the same time. Marcus Smart really makes up for Isaiah's lack of an ability to body up another player, defend another player. He helps him with a height disadvantage, especially when Marcus is able to take on the opposing team's best backcourt player and just allow Isaiah to be the premier offensive player that he is.
See, I don't agree with you there. I think especially once you get Horford back, if you have Horford and Johnson, who, you know, both guys who can chase people off screens and play out on the perimeter, I don't think you should have Marcus Smart in the starting lineup, specifically for the reason that your second team is not full of a lot of great defenders, and I think Marcus Smart sort of anchors that unit, and I'll grant you that it's mix and match, but I think if he plays more with second unit types, he'll, you know, keep them from getting blown off the floor on that end, whereas if you move him in the starting lineup, even with Avery Bradley, as well as a one-on-one defender, you know, that he is, I think the type of defense that Marcus Smart plays, which is a more stout defense, he can guard, you know, bigger guys that have pushed the Celtics around all season. I would think it would be smarter to leave him on the bench, to be honest with you.
So it's the Celtics Post Game Show right here, CLNS Radio, CLNSRadio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPN NHRadio.com. The Movement Watchers toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. This segment is powered by Blue Apron, whose mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everybody. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Did you know that cooking together builds strong families? Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often. Now, for less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals in perfect time for the holidays. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping on top of that. What you want to do is go over to blueapron.com/CLNS, and you will love how good it feels, how good it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. Again, that's blueapron.com/CLNS, Blue Apron. It is simply a better way to cook. Celtics victorious tonight at home over the Dallas Mavericks, 90-83. Happy about the victory, and that's about it. Again, an ugly game. The ugly games continue with the trend here. Patrick Gilroy alongside Calvin Chamberlain, Jared Scally behind the glass, taking your phone calls on the Movement Watches toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771. Calvin, you know, when we talk about Marcus Smart and we talk about Avery Bradley and potentially who can go to the bench, ultimately, in my dream scenario, I don't want either one of them to go to the bench. I think that the Celtics need to tinker with an incredibly small lineup where you move Horford to the five, Crowder to the four, Smart to the three, Bradley to the two, and Isaiah, of course, is your point guard. I don't know how sustainable that is for the length of a season, but I think that gives you your best chance to win basketball games against the majority of the NBA. Of course, matchups will determine whether you can go with that consistently, but I think against the majority of teams in the league, because the traditional big is something that just doesn't exist for the most part, I think you not only can get away with that, I think you could harken back to the days where Kevin Garnett, in the second half of his stint with the Celtics, where he begrudgingly was willing to move to the five. The Celtics suddenly got very good again. Yeah, they went from being very good to mediocre to very good and challenged the Miami Heat in 2012 and nearly made the NBA Finals. And a big part of that success was shifting Kevin Garnett to the center position and playing small ball. I think if you're looking for pure talent on the court, I think that's the lineup that they might have to go with.
I could understand, making that move in sort of a lineup of death situation, but I don't like that lineup for extended minutes. One, because, you know, unlike traditional, quote, lineups of death, they don't really have the shooting. Isaiah, you know, sometimes is on, Bradley sometimes is on, but the other guys, Crowder occasionally can hit a three, but their percentages historically are not up to snuff in terms of what that sort of lineup has to do. And for them to win games, you would really expect them to have to turn the other team over a lot. I hear what you're saying. I understand it conceptually. I don't mind Jay Crowder at the four. I just think that, you know, extended stretches with that team, I've seen this Celtics team get overpowered multiple times over the season. Ironically, I was going to petition you to ask Brad Stevens, you know, I'm sure you're friends with Brad Stevens, ask him to pair Amir Johnson with Isaiah Thomas as much as possible, simply because
I watch them play together. I wonder why they don't just constantly go into pick and rolls, because that play seems to work. Every time, Amir seems to understand the spacing with Isaiah perfectly. He times his speed. He sets crushing screens for Isaiah to free himself, which would be an issue if Jay Crowder was setting those screens rather than Amir Johnson. And I wonder how well that team will play defensively. I'm sorry, going back to my earlier point, how well your team would play defensively if they don't turn the other team over constantly.
And your team, I love. This is great. This is self-explanatory show right here.
I'm sorry,
this radio.
Your team,
radio.com.
Sorry, your team, and your 5-man unit. Not your Celtics. Your 5-minute unit that you're throwing at me. That's what I mean.
All right, I get it. ESPN, yeah. New Hampshire Radio, ESPN, NHRadio.com. Your movement watches, toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Let's hit those movement watches, toll-free phone lines right now and head on over to Alan from Titletown Apparel, who was at the game tonight, I believe hanging out with the CLNS crew. Alan, you're first up on the program. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I was with some of the guys tonight. I met Nick Gelso and Justin, and there was one other gentleman. I totally forgot his name. However, Nick Gelso was half in the bag, just so you guys know that. But really, really good guy. The game, let me tell you one thing. That game had me worried throughout the game. They played so down to their competition tonight, and I'm like, it's going to be the game where they let them hang around, and then eventually they're going to start making shots. And Wesley Matthews, Harrison Barnes, they started making shots. And missing, and Jay Crowder not being there tonight, you could see Harrison Barnes was just posting up Smart, Bradley, Isaiah at the foul line, and he was just shooting over the top. You could see the sense of Jay not being there tonight really, really hurt. But the play of the game tonight, though, was Marcus Smart with the strip on defense,
yep,
that led to the fast break. Isaiah Thomas bounce pass with the Avery Bradley slam. That was the play. I think finally it woke up the Garden. Everyone was pretty quiet until that point, and then the last 4 or 5 minutes after the game, the place was loud. It had a playoff vibe to it. But that game should not have been that close. I mean, I know they were missing Nowitzki. We had no Horford, no Crowder. But that game, it should have been a 20-plus victory. But it is what it is.
So, Alan, you know, I know you pay incredibly close attention to this team, and I know how near and dear to your heart they are. So I got to ask you, at 6-5, no, considering all the injuries, considering whether it be Marcus Smart, Kelly Olynyk, Al Horford, Jay Crowder. It's a lot of injuries to go through and work your way through with a new team, a new lineup, a new bench, a new star, and to do that right from Jump Street. They didn't have an opportunity to play one game, not a single game as a unit. At 6-5, I know there are some troubling losses in that number five, but at 6-5, I can live with that, knowing that Horford's coming back, Crowder's coming back, and I believe that this team will get things right. At 6-5, are you okay with that, or are you still disappointed despite the injury?
Yes and no. I mean, they should have beat the Pelicans. They should have beat, like, the Wizards. It's like, when they lose to, like, bottom feeders, and they let, like, mediocre players like Moutier, Otto Porter, like, have career nights, that's where you kind of like, man, what's going on? And tonight, like, the defense played a little better. They only allowed, like, what, 80-something points when they've been averaging, like, giving up, like, 112 or something like that. But,
yep.
I mean, 6-5, they're seventh in the East. You can live with that. But there are teams that they're competing with, Chicago, Toronto, Atlanta. Those teams are 7-3, 8-2, respectively. So you kind of don't want to fall too far behind and have to play catch up all season. But it is what it is. They'll get all these injuries. I'm sure they'll go on a run. But I mean, they did have some layup games early that they lost, and they're gonna have to beat some really good teams to like really make up for that. And hopefully, they can go on a win 7 out of 10, 8 of 12, and kind of get back on the winning ways.
Yep, and I will say this, you know, this doesn't make it okay, and this isn't, you know, an excuse, but I will say that this is not something unique to this season. Last year, the Celtics lost to Brooklyn twice in a horrific, I'm sorry, Calvin, but you can admit last year's Lakers team was just god-awful. They lost to that Lakers team, and they lost to Brooklyn twice last year, and Brooklyn was historically bad. So this isn't something new or unique to this season. But I will say that you're absolutely right. When you're, it's a blessing when you're down, you know, your all-star and your fringe all-star and Horford and Crowder, and the schedule gives you layup, you know, these wins that you should be able to get and capitalize on while you're not 100%, and you don't do that, well, then that just makes your challenge later in the season that much more difficult, because now the Celtics will have to squeak out some wins against upper echelon teams when they're fully healthy. They won't have the luxury later in the season to lose a game where, you know, it's a 50-50 matchup. They'll have to go out there and really beat the cream of the crop to make up for these losses if they are to finish top three in the Eastern Conference and finish somewhere with, you know, 54 to 58 wins as expected. And if they don't, they just won't win as many games. And it is what it is, and there's nothing you can't go back in time. But I will say that I don't think that the fact that Al Horford has missed now 8 games, Crowder 5 games, I don't think it gets enough play, because people just look at the opponent and they don't look at the reality of what Brad Stevens has been forced to do. Whether it be Jaylen Brown starting a handful of games earlier in the season, tinkering with just having nobody at the three. They are literally playing a point guard at your small forward for the meat of these games. I'm sorry, but Marcus Smart should not be defending Carmelo Anthony for the bulk of a game, but that's the reality of what Brad Stevens has been faced with right now, which, to your point, Alan, is why guys like Otto Porter have been able to go off on the Celtics, because they simply don't have a body, be it Jay Crowder or an Evan Turner from last year. They don't have a body, a 6'7" guy who is NBA-ready to at least defend at that level. And that's a difficult place to be, because, as you guys know, generally the best offensive player on the opposing team is your three. And the Celtics, that's where they're depleted the most.
Justin, I want to turn it around on you, because I think that you're looking at it from the lens of, you know, what the team will be in the future. And no one's saying at the end of the season that this is what the Celtics will be, but that doesn't mean they're not disappointing now. They have enough talent right now to beat a lot of these teams that they've lost to, or, you know, won games that they should have won more easily than they're winning, although I put a little less stock into that because, you know, a win is a win technically. But, you know, particularly, I guess in tonight's game in particular, what I'm thinking is because the Mavericks lost the entirety of their offense. Yes, you're right, they're undersized without Horford, but they still have Amir Johnson. This team was undersized last year. They didn't have Horford. They really haven't lost a huge center. I mean, if you want to call Jared Sullinger a defensive center that they lost last year, sure. But this team showed that they've been capable of playing outstanding defense without a traditional big man. You know, Kelly Olynyk at times has played well, good defense. But this year they're not showing the trends defensively that they showed last year in terms of ball pressure and perimeter defense. They're giving up way more threes than they did last year. And, again, they're missing some guys, which is a fair point. And they'll probably be better. But right now they're not as good as they should be, even with the guys that they
Calvin,
have.
No, Calvin, check the numbers. Go back to last year. When this team lost Crowder in March of last year, their defense that had been so stout all season long went off the rails. It just went off the rails. It went off the tracks. So you're right. They didn't have Horford last year. And, yeah, they had Sullinger. And Sullinger played well the first 2 months of the season. And then he got back in the bag of Twinkies and he got fat again. But through the end of December, Sullinger was a good player. I'm not using that as an excuse. What I am saying is this is 2 years in a row now that this team has lost Jay Crowder for a chunk of time. And I don't think it's any coincidence that when your 6'7" swing, who's an elite defender and a near-elite offensive player, goes down, the defense goes with it. Because, again, at 5'7" or 5'9", whatever Isaiah Thomas is, and at 6'2", in Avery Bradley, your backcourt can only do so much defensively. Once the opposing point guard breaks down your defense, there is nothing left to help. You don't forget, Amir Johnson scored. He can slide over and help, but he's your last line of defense. This team misses Evan Turner. And they certainly missed Jay Crowder. Last year,
it went off the rails defensively for about a three-week stretch until Crowder came back. And that's why, even in the playoffs, when Crowder couldn't score the basketball and he couldn't move laterally at all, playing on one leg, the Celtics defense still managed to bounce back a little bit and keep the Celtics in some games, because Jay Crowder at 70% is still elite enough defensively to help his team. The moment that Brad Stevens was forced to go to his 19-year-old rookie at that position was the moment I knew that if they can just somehow, some way get out of this stretch at 500, I could live with it.
Look, I hear what you're saying about the overall defense, and again, my issue in particular has been more with perimeter defense and with the lack of turnover creation, something that you should be able to do with the guards that you have on this roster, guys who aren't doing what they did last season. I just see teams getting wide-open threes against the Celtics team, guys who are playing man-to-man. You can blame it on the lack of – yeah, Jay Crowder is somebody who also plays perimeter defense. I'll grant you that. But, again, if you want me to single people out, I can single people out. Avery Bradley's not playing the defense he played last year, straight up. And he's mostly a man-to-man defender. Marcus Smart, not playing the defense he played last year. I think that's an issue.
I get it, Calvin. And, look, we could pick it apart. I'd love to pick it apart. I will say this before we go to break, that Marcus Smart's defense is what won the Celtics the game today. His steal and that nifty bounce pass simply turned the tide and won the Celtics the basketball game today. It is the Celtics postgame show. It is CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. It's Patrick Gilroy. It is Calvin Chamberlain and Jared Scalley behind the glass. When we come back, our closing thoughts on this Boston Celtics 90-83 victory at home. And we need to touch on a little team called Golden State, who will be here in just 48 hours.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on clnsradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android.
This is Jared Weiss of the Garden Report Live postgame show, and let's talk about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. But now, with our promo code GARDEN, their $800 custom suits will cost you just $389. That is over 50% off a made-to-measure suit. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay to get fitted today for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on the Garden Report. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an incredible experience. They are filled to the cuff with fabric selections, with pretty much any pattern and color combination that you can think of for a suit. You pick your lining, you pick your lapel, your monogram, and more. They even have custom shirts, too, so you can get the exact collar that you want. I'm getting a shirt with a cutaway collar, which is something that I have a lot of trouble finding, so I'm excited about that. The measurement process is actually pretty fun. Your style guide just makes it an easy experience. You show up to the store, you kick back, relax, and you just get ready to step into a perfectly fitting suit in just 4 weeks. So go to Indochino.com to book your appointment at their Boston showroom, and you can get any premium suit for just $389 when you mention the code GARDEN. You're just not going to beat that deal anywhere. You cannot get a made-to-measure suit of quality construction and fabric even near that price anywhere. And to have it this accessible and easy and fun, you just can't beat it.
It is the Celtics Post Game Radio Program right here. CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPNNHradio.com. It is a Patrick Gilroy alongside Calvin Chamberlain this evening, Jared Scally behind the glass, talking to you guys following the Celtics' 90-83 victory from the TD Garden over the Dallas Mavericks. I want to go right back to our movement watches, toll-free phone lines. If you guys want to join us on those movement watches, toll-free phone lines, the number to join us here is 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Hopping right back to the Marcus Smart conversation on the line with us right now is host of Celtic Stuff Live and good friend Justin Poulin, who I believe was at the game tonight hanging out. So, Justin, what's going on, man?
Hey, I'm on my ride back to Hartford where I've got some business, and I had a couple of hours and really had a nice evening as a guest of Comcast Sportsnet New England. They hosted a number of new media types like ourselves. Really showed us a good time. Got a chance to touch the 1984 championship trophy, so that was pretty cool. And just a real nice night all together. I mean, I know the play on the court's been a little rough. I didn't get a chance to catch up with Scal to talk to him about the Clay Thompson rumors with Friday's game on tap, but I hear you all talking about Marcus Smart, and you know, in my opinion, I love Marcus. I've always been a big supporter. I think this is a breakout year, but if there were any truth to those rumors at all, I just based on what we're seeing, and Pat, you make a good point with Marcus playing the three. He's good and he's versatile. Not sure that that's what you want to be night in and night out from your starter. You know, he really should be at the one or the two. And it's hard to imagine the Celtics being willing to give up somebody like Jay Crowder when you see that. I mean, Marcus was the difference, but I'm just not sure that he could hold up against a LeBron in an Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, I think you know the answer to that. I mean, we all do. It's just not possible. Physically, it's not possible. And you know, Danny Ainge has put such an emphasis Going back to the big three days, Danny Ainge has put such an emphasis on finding a LeBron stopper. And now with the season that, like, DeMar DeRozan is having a DeMar DeRozan stopper, but a Paul George stopper, he's not going to stop any of these guys. You know, Danny Ainge going back and getting Jeff Green in that perk trade. We know what his motivation was. Was it ill-fated and probably the wrong move? Sure. But this has been something that Danny Ainge has been trying to do for years. And I think he feels like he's got that guy in Jay Crowder, at least somebody that could play these guys relatively even and make them work for every single basket that they get. And I think that, you know, we started the show, despite all of the technical difficulties we had here this evening, Justin, we started the show talking about, are you satisfied with the Celtics at 6-5 when you consider the fact that 40% of their 10-man rotation has missed significant time to start the season? And my answer is, yeah, there's some ugly losses, but the overall at 6-5, I'll take it considering what this team has had to work with. But I think what proves that point, and you bring it up, is that Brad Stevens has been forced to play his point guard, maybe his shooting guard, whatever guard position you want to call Marcus Smart's position, he's been forced to play him drastically out of position against some of the league's best wing players. And I just don't think that's a recipe for sustained success.
You're arguing against yourself, though. You're the one. You were the one earlier making the argument that Marcus Smart should start at the three with Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas. I think
Stop. What I'm saying is, what I said was, based on matchup, that gives the Celtics their potentially best offensive lineup. That's what
right.
I said. I said it's going to depend on matchup. But if you're matched up against a Paul George or LeBron James, there's no way that matchup, that lineup doesn't work. But a night like tonight. Absolutely. And that's what Brad Stevens has done his entire tenure here, by the way, is he plays his starters and he plays his bench solely based on matchups. That's why he's had mixed and matched so many combinations, not just this year, but the entirety of his career here.
2 points. I think one, you can't – a playoff series is different, but throughout the regular season, you can't let other teams in the matchup dictate what your starting lineup is going to be and just switch it every night, you know, based on what the matchup is. You have to go out there and execute your game plan and make the other team react to what you do. Maybe your team speed overcomes you know, whatever loss you're losing in size. I think that was the argument you were making in the first place and their ability to create turnovers. And point two, holding someone to the standard of – being a LeBron or a Paul George stopper, that's such an unreasonable expectation for any player in the league. I mean, you even throw Jay Crowder out there. If LeBron puts up 45 on Jay Crowder, then what do you do?
Yeah, but
well,
as strong as Marcus Smart is, Jay Crowder has got the length as well. And what you really need in the postseason is both of those players to share time. You know you're going to throw doubles at the King. And at the end of the day, you know, the problem is if you get rid of somebody like Jay Crowder, you're vulnerable in the postseason. We've already seen it. We have great defenders on the floor, even in that starting lineup with Smart and Bradley, and yet there are major lapses on defense, and they have absolutely nothing to do with the absence of Al Horford. They have everything to do with the absence of Jay Crowder, who's the defensive identity. He's the dirt dog. He's the Kevin Millar of this Boston Celtics team. The only knock that you can really put on Crowder, and as a matter of fact, you can almost put it on Smart to some extent based on his two and change years with the Celtics, is the inability to stay healthy right when they're hitting their groove. This is the second time where we started to see real flashes from Jay Crowder, and then the ankle injury takes him out of it. I wonder if he had not had the ankle injury last year, if they would have rushed him back already, he would be seeing court time. And instead they say, let's just make sure he's 100%. Because when he begins to develop the ability to attack the basket, he changes his influence on the offense, and it's much more impactful. But this is the second time an ankle injury. It'll be interesting to see when he comes back if he has to try to get back into that rhythm. It's a killer on the offense at times, but what it can bring is just really amazing play. They've got to have him as the defensive core. I think there's smoke with Scal. I think he backpedaled, you know, simply in what I would consider to be sort of broadcasting or journalism 101, you know, that this thing isn't close, but you can see why the team would make a trade like that. I just don't know that you can see the team making a trade of Jay Crowder because, to me, it is so evident. I don't know what's going on with Al Horford, when he'll be back, how concerned we should really be, but the defensive woes, that's not the issue. And I think if the book is out, we need to really see what this team can be 10, 20 games from now, but they still do need another piece. I mean, do we disagree on that?
No, they absolutely need another piece. I think it's evident right now that if they are to achieve some of these lofty goals, Justin, that have been sort of put out there by the local and national media alike, they are in need of something else. If that piece is a Klay Thompson, I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty drastic move. But if you pay attention to the rumor mill, it seems to have kicked up a little bit earlier this year than it has in years past. I mean, just this week alone, the Celtics have been connected to Klay Thompson, to Harden, and of course to DeMarcus Cousins, who they're perpetually attached to. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. I can't remember a time where you had three guys of that ilk and of that caliber already connected to the Celtics. It just tells me that it's going to be sort of banana land around here until mid-February.
Yeah, you can count on that. Let me just jump off of that. You can absolutely count on that being the case. We're going to have rumors like mad, but put Scal aside, that actually the salivating for the trade rumor season starting so early actually came from somebody that we wouldn't really expect, which would be Ian Thompson, formerly of SI.com, now with NBA.com. But he said he really felt like this was the season it was going to happen. He kind of queued it up a little bit. Here's what I want to point out for Friday's game in advance of Golden State. I think everybody is wildly underrating how good Klay Thompson is, and it's mind-blowing to me. I understand why people say, no, I don't want to give up Jay Crowder, because that would leave them really thin at the small forward. They'd be vulnerable, and wouldn't really step up. I agree. I don't know that I want to give up Jay Crowder in that trade, and maybe it is a showstopper, but not because Klay Thompson's not good. It's because the team isn't good without Jay at the three in the postseason. But if they could substitute Marcus Smart for Jay, and it was Smart and Bradley for Klay Thompson with maybe a pick, I'm definitely 100% all into that. And I don't think that that trade is any less beneficial to Golden State and what they're trying to do.
Who knows what they want? I'm sorry?
No, I was saying, Calvin, you got a thought on that?
Yeah. It's way too early to say exactly what Golden State would want, unless they're the ones who put that trade rumor specifically out there, which I doubt. I think the reason that we're hearing so much about the Celtics so early in the season is simply because they have a lot of assets, they have a lot of young players, and they still don't really – they're underperforming so far in the season. That's another reason people have higher expectations for them. And I think that they're the type of team that could make a move and probably should make a move to try to vault themselves up into that next level, right, to compete with the Cavs. So I think that trying to go after a Klay Thompson is smart. Do you want to give up two stars to get Klay Thompson? As good as I think Klay Thompson is, I think that I would be reluctant to do that, because as much credit as Klay Thompson gets for his defense, you're losing two defensive assets and the built on defense. So I would be wary of that move. You're right. Even for Smart, I would question, whether or not the Warriors would want to do that, because they're an undersized team at this point anyway. I think they'd want the larger asset of Crowder, who can play more of a Draymond role, a guy who can play center and power forward, rather than that team even getting smaller. But again, I'm not the GM in Golden State, so what do I know?
If you trade Bradley and Crowder to Golden State, doesn't Jay come off the bench? And you're talking about trading two starters and them getting smaller, but the truth is that Crowder would be coming off the bench anyway. He doesn't make the starting lineup any longer. What you wind up with is Bradley.
I mean, if they traded Bradley and Smart rather than Crowder, that's what I meant. That's what,
no,
what would make
I totally get your point. My counterpoint is that Jay Crowder, your point well taken. But if Jay is in that trade or Smart is in that trade, either one of those two isn't going to be in the starting lineup, which means that Smart, as undersized as that point may be, that they would want the longer player, Smart's already shown positional flexibility. And he's coming off the bench.
Yeah, but so is Crowder.
I get the discussion, but I'm just not sure that Klay Thompson is even the real target at this point in the season. And I think we're going to hear a lot of various targets in the coming weeks. Of course, this is the Celtics post-game show. It's Patrick Gilroy. It's Calvin Chamberlain on the phone right now with Justin Poulin, host of the Celtics Stuff Live on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. Want to say thank you to ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPNNHRadio.com, that has just returned to national programming. And Justin, quickly, before we let you go and get out of here for this evening, I do want to quickly bring up something that you touched on for a moment. You talked about the injuries. You talked about Al Horford and Jay Crowder and where they are and their potential to come back. If you paid attention this morning to the news feeds, the story on Horford was suddenly the Celtics changed his status to out indefinitely. And then as the day went along, the latest report was he worked out, as did Crowder, before the game tonight at the Garden. He looked good, and he potentially could return Friday. What the heck is going on here, and why are the stories so inconsistent coming out of Boston?
I think they're just sick of answering the question. I think they hope that Horford would move through the concussion protocol quickly. then it became such a central story. We know that Horford likes to be a silent leader. He's not necessarily wanting to be out front. And so shining a light on his injury and him not playing and having to answer those questions over and over instead of focusing on the players who are actually suited up for the game is the issue. And they don't want to have to keep doing it. If they say out indefinitely, it protects them. The only curious counter to that is the fact that then immediately after they gave themselves some breathing room, they said he might play on Friday. Then you would have thought, well, maybe you just don't even say that. You just say out indefinitely, you put it to rest, and then, you know, he's a game-time decision, and that's when you make the announcement. But I think it's mostly they're just trying to say, look, you know, it's a process. It's a simple process. You're not going to get any updates until you actually see him in a jersey and in the starting lineup, and you know, you're not going to get any new information. So if we just say out indefinitely, maybe you'll stop asking.
Well, yeah, concussion recovery time is you know, notoriously vague. We see the NFL players concussion all the time after missing a – wow.
I think Calvin had a problem there, but Justin, we appreciate the phone call. Have a safe drive to Connecticut tonight. Are you going to be back in town for the game on Friday?
No, I'm not. I'm going to be – I got a big meeting in Philadelphia for the day job, but I want to say – one thing to you, Pat, which is you're a trooper, man. You sound just as normal as always. I know you had a big day today, and you know, kudos to you for being a champ. It's one of those unsung things that nobody will know about, and good on you for showing up and being the same energetic person and good lead host that you always are, my man. So thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate it, Justin. We'll talk to you real soon. There's Justin Poulin, host of Celtic Stuff Live, heard every single Monday right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPN NHRadio.com. Celtics win tonight, 90-83, an ugly victory, a victory that probably should have been a much larger margin, and quite frankly, a game that looked like the Celtics were going to let slip away. Things don't get much easier for the Celtics. As a matter of fact, they get tremendously more difficult because in less than 48 hours, the Golden State Warriors, the Splash Brothers, and that complete sideshow that they've become comes to Boston. And look, the Celtics haven't played a single game this season well enough to compete with a team like Golden State. It's going to take getting their guys back, Horford and Crowder, healthy, and getting them back and playing at 100%, I think, to compete with Golden State on Friday. I think that is a very, very tall ask, a very tall task for the Boston Celtics. It is the Celtics post-game show. Our movement watches toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. It is back to the movement watches toll-free phone lines we go. It is Nick Cicento. Nick, you were up next on the Celtics postgame show.
How you guys doing?
We are living the dream. Nick, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I mean, could have been happier about the game. Not quite sure whether I'm more upset with the fact that we struggled against the Mavericks or the fact that I'm pretty much agreeing with Calvin Chamberlain the whole night. Calvin Chamberlain and I have gone at it over the years on CLNS radio post game shows, and we rarely, if ever, agree. But on this occasion, I'm going to have to agree with pretty much everything that he said. Number one, regarding the trade, I definitely don't see why Golden State would want Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart, being a small team already, why they would want both of those players that basically play similar-ish type of positions. I think they would definitely ask for Jay Crowder, and I think that if we were to trade for Klay Thompson, which I don't think is going to happen, but if we were, it would require probably a restructuring of the entire team, because Klay Thompson doesn't really address the biggest need that this team has, which I think is probably rebounding, even though they had a pretty big rebounding margin tonight, pretty big rebounding margin lead tonight. And it doesn't really address the rim protection that I think that we're still lacking, despite Al Horford's outburst in the first game against Brooklyn with, I think, those four blocks, which has kind of anchored his 2.5 block average this season. I just don't think it answers those questions. It does give us that reliable outside shooting that we've really, really wanted to have. But I think that Avery Bradley should by now be that that position. In addition to that, if we do trade Avery Bradley, that eliminates our number one rebounder, which then creates an even bigger problem of where do we get the rebounds.
And look, yeah, I think you can go back. You go back, guys, last to just this offseason. The Celtics were reluctant, if you believe the stories, they were reluctant to put Jay Crowder in a package for Jimmy Butler. Right? This has been Danny Ainge's sort of crown jewel. You know, in the Rajon Rondo trade, most casual fans thought that Jameer Nelson was the best player coming back to the Celtics. Nobody had any idea Jay Crowder was going to turn into the player that he's turned into in such a valuable piece on both sides of the floor. And I think that if he's reluctant to put him in a trade for a guy like Jimmy Butler, he's certainly going to be more than reluctant to put him into a trade for Klay Thompson.
Absolutely, especially considering how elite Jimmy Butler's defense has been and how he's potentially basically a franchise player. And, I mean, it's yet to be proven whether or not Klay Thompson is that franchise player. I think he could be, but it hasn't been shown because he plays with three other franchise players or two other franchise players in Golden State, so there's no way to say.
I find it ludicrous, the notion that, like, they might even be considering trading Klay Thompson because he had a couple of bad games. Considering how much of that team's identity is built on the chemistry that they already have, the whole Splash Brothers identity, that they would panic and make a trade for Klay Thompson before their first season with Kevin Durant. Like, really, really, we're talking about this trade that's never going to happen. There's no way that Klay Thompson is even on the table. And so I don't see it happening from Golden State side, even if you had Bradley and Jake Crowder on the table.
I agree 100%. And I'd also like to bring up the Marcus Smart. That was the one thing that I've been listening to the whole game and I've kind of wanted to chime in on that was I agree wholeheartedly that Marcus Smart should go back to the bench when Jake Crowder comes back because if you look at the bench play, there is very little defense and there is very little passing. Look at the assist numbers from our bench tonight. Not a single player on our bench had an assist except for Gerald Green, and you don't want to depend on Gerald Green getting three assists off the bench to bolster the ball movement coming off the bench. That's just not what you want. I don't think Marcus Smart is good and as he is, as much as it seems that so many Celtics fans love him, and I know Scally loves him, I know Justin Poulin loves him, they wouldn't trade him for the world. But if you look at what he does, he's basically the new Evan Turner. And I wasn't the first one to bring him up because I know Calvin Chamberlain mentioned Evan Turner earlier, so nobody can blame me for that one. He does everything well except for shoot the ball. He went 1-for-6 tonight, 0-for-3 from 3, and he doesn't even hit his free throws. He went 2-for-4 from free throws. He definitely can pass, even though he's not that great of a dribbler. He's not even as good of a dribbler as Evan Turner was. And he rebounds fairly well. But he's a smaller player. He's maybe a little bit better defender. But as I think somebody already mentioned, you don't want a 6'4" player defending Carmelo Anthony or even attempting to defend LeBron James or players of that higher caliber at the small forward position. He's just, I don't think, as good as many Celtics fans think he is. I understand they love the passion. I understand they love the grit, the intensity, the hustle that he brings. I just don't think that he's that type of player. I think he's better off the bench where he can play against other bench players from other teams, where he can be that guy that can pass the ball, and where he can be that guy that anchors the defense on a bench that doesn't really have that much defense or that much experience.
Well, Nick, look, you know me. I'm not the biggest Marcus Smart advocate in the world, but I will give him this. For whatever reason, he does have that it factor, and when the games get their closest, he does have a knack for stepping up and hitting, whether it be a big three. Tonight it was a big steal. He has a knack for making winning plays, and there certainly is a place for a guy like that on an NBA roster. And I would like to say
absolutely.
That, if he was the 19th pick in the draft and he were playing the way he's playing now, I think we would all judge him very differently. But he does, much like the comparison you made to Evan Turner, the former number two pick, Marcus carries that monkey on his back of being the sixth overall pick in the draft, and I think the expectations that come with being a top 10 pick are always going to sort of hamper him, and they'll always be something that he's going to wear on his back. You know, and despite he may never be that guy. He may never be a guy that can lead a team by himself. And that's not his fault that he was the number six pick in the draft. But for everything that you said about Marcus, and you were dead on, he can't shoot. He's a liability when he's got the ball in his hands. He's not the best passer. It's all factually correct. But he is one of those players that has a knack for making winning plays when the game is sort of at that point. And he did it again tonight.
And he could do that off the bench. He doesn't have to do it from the starting lineup.
And here's the other thing. If he can close out games, what you're talking about in terms of needing him out there on the floor at the end of games, that's fine. But he shouldn't be out there at the start of the game. He should rotate in with some of the bench players. He should just be the number one bench player. It's not that hard. Him and Olenek should be the top two bench players. I'd like to take some issue with his passing, because I think that I've always criticized him for being a bad passer, but I think I've really seen a lot of progression from him this season. He seems to have suddenly found an instinct for bounce passes and seeing lanes that haven't opened up yet that I've never seen out of him. And I've always criticized him for not being a point guard, and sort of that being the expectation of him being a point guard. But he's really stepped up his passing, even though he still can't dribble.
Calvin, you bring up a good point, and I think it's an apt way to close the show. So we appreciate the phone call, Nick, and if we had more I would give you the whole Nick Pacento segment here, but unfortunately, we're in the closing moments of the show. But Calvin, I gotta talk about this, because it's how we started the show, so it's a good way to finish the show. You just said Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk coming off the bench. You're absolutely right. And when those two guys start coming off the bench once again, and then you mix in a little bit of a Jaylen Brown, a little bit of Jordan Mickey, that's when the Celtics' depth that we all expected to be there to start the season, that's when I think we'll start to see it come to fruition. That's when we'll start to see it shine a little bit. The Celtics, unfortunately, due to injury, have had to lean on that depth and take that depth and put it into their starting lineup, leaving their bench, leaving their cupboards essentially bare. And that's been probably one of their biggest causes for concern for the first 11 games of the season, because we saw it again tonight, Calvin. The Celtics jump out to a 12-point lead, and I think that the opportunity was there to take a 20-point lead in the first quarter. That's how much better the Celtics were playing than a depleted Mavericks team. But the Celtics go to their bench, and they don't have the ability to sustain a lead, to even hold a lead, let alone grow a lead. And I don't think that they will until this team is whole and complete, and it may not be whole and complete for another week or two.
And I think that Brown and Rozier and even Gerald Green, to a lesser extent Green, but they sort of just go out there right now and do whatever they can, try to get their points where they can, try to fill in roles where they can. I think by the end of the season, those guys will definitely have more defined roles. They'll know exactly what they're in the game to do, and how much they should be involved in the offense, how much they should be involved in the defense, what type of player they'll be guarding. So as a unit, they'll be more functional than what they are right now, which is sort of five guys out there just trying to get in where they can fit in.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it was a good show tonight, guys. I appreciate all the phone calls. Appreciate the effort this evening. The Celtics come out victorious tonight. The final score, 90-83. Celtics over the Dallas Mavericks. A depleted Celtics squad beats an even more depleted Dallas Mavericks squad. It started with no Dirk, and it went down from there for the Dallas Mavericks, who are now, I believe, 2-8 on the season. Good to see Mark Cuban on the bench with the team, really trying to support his bunch, but that's a team that I think is going nowhere fast, and it's a shame that Dirk Nowitzki is going to have to ride out his final year or two on that roster, and it's going to be something that I wanted to talk about tonight, but unfortunately we can't. I wonder if that team continues to struggle at the rate in which they do, if there's a possibility come trade deadline that Dirk is one of those names that gets tossed around out there, because it's clear he can still play, but I'm not sure that he's somebody to be willing to be traded. And coming from Boston, watching Paul Pierce play for the Brooklyn Nets, it wound up being a very good thing for the Celtics, but it never quite felt right. Dirk has been opposed to being moved by Dallas in the past, but you wonder if come January, February trade deadline team, if it's clear that Dallas doesn't even have a sniff at the playoffs, you wonder if that's a name that will start to be bandied about because he could still add a valuable piece to a contending NBA team. Tonight's show was brought to you guys by our friends at MovementWatches.com. It's MVMTWatches.com. You want to do MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat. That gets you guys 15% off your first purchase with free shipping. It was also brought to you by our friends at Audible. You go over to audiblepodcast.com/try now. It gets you a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Our music was provided by Joshua Morse. And a big thank you to today's callers, specifically Justin Poulin, Alan from Titletown Apparel, and, of course, the one and only Nick Sesento. For CLNS Radio Executive Producer Larry H. Russell, for our Program Director Justin Poulin, and the founder of the network, the guy that I heard was a little bit lit up tonight at the Garden, and good for him, Nick Gelso. For my co-hosts, Calvin Chamberlain and Jared Scally, I am Patrick Gilroy. We will see everybody back here again Friday night as it is the Celtics and the Golden State Warriors, a game we've all been looking forward to. Until then, for Calvin, for Jared, I'm Patrick. Celtics win 90-83. We'll see y'all on Friday.